Welcome to episode 33 of the Holy Bible, the New Testament. I'm Father Ron Shibley, founder and director of the Anglican Internet Church and the producer of this series. For those viewers just joining the series, I urge you to watch episodes 29, in which I discuss the meaning of the Greek words ego eimē, and the second half of episode 31, in which I connect St. John's use of ego eimē as a title of God with other theological teachings found in John chapter 1, in 1 John chapter 1, and in Revelation 21. In this episode, I continue my discussion of Before Abraham Was, I Am, and also begin part 1 of a two-part discussion of I Am the Door and I Am the Good Shepherd. At the end of episode 32, in discussing St. John's account of Jesus' conversation in the treasury inside the temple at Jerusalem, I reported that Jesus had accused the Jews of being children of the devil. For the sake of continuity, I resume the dialogue in the temple at chapter 8, verse 44. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear, because you are not of God. John's meaning in the accusation is that while the disobedient Hebrew people are descendants by blood from Abraham, and remember that they called God the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he is saying that their true father, in the spiritual sense, is the devil, whom Jesus calls a murderer from the beginning in 44a, and the father of lies in 44b. He had reminded them in verse 42 that Abraham was obedient to the will of the Lord, saying Abraham did not do that is, be disobedient. The suggestion is that, having revealed himself to them in the several I Am sayings, which began with I Am the Bread of Life, and went through I Am the Living Bread, I Am the Light of the World, I Am from above, I Am not of this world, they, unlike obedient Abraham, still do not believe him. He reminds them that it is he who is telling the truth, saying in verse 8:45, because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Jesus continues in the Hebrew style by asking questions, which of you convicts me of sin, and giving answers based on their actions. He who is of God hears God's words, an allusion to the concept of ears that do not hear. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. And consequently, they do their works, the works of their spiritual father, the devil. The response of the Jews was heated, indeed accusatory, and indeed deliberately insulting. In verse 38, they say, do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Here you must put aside any modern understanding of the term Samaritan in verse 48 as one who does good works, and remember that labeling Jesus a Samaritan was not a compliment, but an accusation. For first century Jews, Samaritans were heretics who rejected Hebrew tradition and practice. As those who have watched this course on the New Testament, especially episode 8, you know that demons refers to evil spirits which inhabit human bodies. St. Mark's Gospel includes 4 examples of Jesus' power over spirits or demons. In Mark 1, verse 27, on the driving out of the evil spirit in the synagogue at Capernaum, St. Mark reports that the Jews said, "What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." In the account in the Gospel of St. John, Jesus denies the demon accusation and demonstrates his divinity yet again by offering them a path to everlasting light. Here is verses 49 to 51. Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death." The phrase, "there is one who seeks and judges," in verse 50b, refers to the Father, and of course indirectly to himself at the general judgment as the judge of all. More than that, he assures them that those who keep his word, and here please recall John's dual meaning of word in chapter 1, literal words, and Jesus as the personification of the word. Therefore, those who keep his word will not see death, verse 51b, meaning they will have eternal life in the kingdom of the Father. We have now reached the climactic verses describing the confrontation in the treasury. Now verses 52 and 53. "Then the Jews said to him, 'Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets who are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be?'" Here they ask 2 questions. The first, "Are you greater than our father Abraham and the prophets?" meaning both Abraham and all the prophets of the Old Testament. And the second repeats in slightly different form the question asked in the exchange following his "I am the light of the world" statement, when in chapter 8, verse 25, they had asked, "Who are you?" They now say, "Who do you make yourself out to be?" As we will see shortly, they were stunned by his answer. Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God, yet you have not known him. But I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." In St. John's account, these words are the strongest accusation yet against the Jews. Jesus says that while they claim God as their God in verse 54b, they have not known him in verse 55a. And he again calls them liars in verse 55. But it was not these accusations that upset them. That anger is reserved for his bold statement, which was entirely consistent with what he had been telling them throughout this entire dialogue in St. John's Gospel in the several ego eimi, I am declarations. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Their response was more disbelief. And they reply in verse 57, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? And Jesus' reply stands today as the boldest claim yet in St. John's Gospel concerning his true identity when he says in verse 58, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Virtually every translation of the Bible, from the King James Version to the present-day translations, here renders the Greek ego eimi as I am. The exceptions are those modern translations which attempt to convert first-century speech into modern language equivalents, and this is called dynamic modern equivalents, and also those who translate it as before Abraham was, I was. Such a translation does not fully convey the theological meaning of ego eimi, I am, as the Greek equivalent to God's statement to Moses in Exodus 3, verses 14 and 15, I am that I am, or I am the existing one. Jesus did not offer a modern-style, rambling, indirect reference. He said, boldly, without reservation, before Abraham was, I am, and left them to draw a conclusion from it. St. John's account of what happened next includes this brief revelation of a divine event. John wrote in verse 59, then they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. This is another way of saying, as John did in chapter 8, verse 20, that no one laid hands on him because his hour had not yet come. The next two examples of the I am sayings are found in John's account of an incident which followed Jesus' healing of the blind man at the Pool of Siloam near the southeastern edge of the temple complex as rebuilt after the return from Babylon. The location of this conversation is unknown, but given the context, it seems most likely that it was somewhere in the near vicinity of Jerusalem. The story is told in chapter 10 and includes I am the door in verses 7 and 9, and I am the good shepherd in verses 14 and 17. In this story, as before, there are Pharisees present who deny Jesus' divinity. The shepherd imagery in these two accounts is quite strong, and understanding the symbolism is important to your understanding of the message of these two ego eimi declarations. The Old Testament precedents are, of course, Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, but also Psalm 81, hear us, O thou shepherd of Israel. Also, God as shepherd is the theme of the entire 34th chapter of the book of the prophet Ezekiel, which ends with the statement, you are my flock, the flock of my pasture, you are men, and I am your God. In the Holy Land at the time of Christ, the keeping of sheep was widespread. Sheep were kept for their milk, for their meat, and for their wool, and of course for use as sacrificial animals. Sheep were one of the shepherd's most valuable assets. And to prevent them from wandering off or from being stolen, sheep were kept in a sheepfold, such as the one shown in the 21st century photograph of an ancient sheep enclosure near the River Kent in Kentmere, England, in the famous Lake District. Only the shepherd had control of the gate, which is also called the door. Most likely, at the time of the writing of the Gospel of St. John, a shepherd, which in Greek is rendered as poimen, P-O-I-M-E-N, would have paid a watchman to guard the sheep. In St. John's account, Jesus himself is the shepherd, and he watches over his own sheep. Jesus as shepherd thereafter became a powerful image in Christian thinking and in the epistles, in Hebrews 13, verse 20, in 1 Peter 2, verse 25, and in 1 Peter 5, verse 4. In the Anglican ordination liturgy, bishops and priests are given the role of shepherd. Here is how Jesus introduced the subject. And for this version, which closes out this episode, I have edited out verse 6, which I will include in the next episode. Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. If you would like to see for yourself where the Greek egoime is used in the New Testament, you can find that information in George Rickard Berry's reference book, The Greek to English Interlinear New Testament King James Version. And the version I have is by World Bible Publishers in Iowa Falls, Iowa, and can be searched under the ISBN number 0-529-010632. Next time, in episode 34, I will continue our discussion with part 2 of I Am the Door, which leads into I Am the Good Shepherd. As always, thank you for joining me for episode 33 of the Holy Bible, the New Testament. You can support this internet ministry in several ways. You can make a donation by sending a check in any amount payable to Anglican Internet Church to our business office address, 7162 Soft Wind Lane, Mechanicsville, Virginia, 23111. Or you can purchase books from the bookstore pages at www.anglicaninternetchurch.net or www.stjohnc.podbean.com. Or more easily, you can go to my new author page, https://www.amazon.com/author/Ronald-E-Shibley, which includes both paperback and Kindle versions where available of all our publications. Or you can like us and subscribe to our podcast from our Podbean site, which is also the host to our extensive collection of over 400 MP3 podcasts on a variety of topics. You can now read my weekly blog posting and subscribe to them at https://anglicaninternetchurch.wordpress.com. You can also follow us and like us on Facebook. The full internet address for our Facebook page is on the screen, but I've posted a live link to our Facebook page on the homepage of our website, www.anglicaninternetchurch.net. There you can use the link, and once you're at our Facebook page, you can bookmark the page so you can easily return. Contributors and book purchasers can request our weekly update with the latest news and links to the most recent videos, podcast publications, Twitter account, and blog postings. If you would like to receive the weekly update, please email me with your request at fron.stjohnanglican@earthlink.net. If you'd like to speak with me personally about this program or any other subject, you may call on my church cell phone, 804-306-1190. The best times to reach me are 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., Monday through Friday, Eastern Time. If you do not reach me, please leave your name, a message, and a callback number. Until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be merciful to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.